Hello, welcome to God Day. I'm Derek Walker, the pastor of the Oxford Bible Church. Today we're talking about the prodigal father, or really Luke chapter 15, in which we see a trinity of parables, but with the main one being the what's normally known as the parable of the prodigal son, but it's really about the prodigal father. Anyway, there are three stories in Luke 15 that all reveal and are parables that reveal the love of God for us, God's extravagant love, actually. And they are just like the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So one parable's about the Father, another about the Son, and another about the Holy Spirit. And they all have this abundant love for us that is revealed in the parable. And it's a triune chapter. In other words, and you've always got the case of something that is lost, that is a picture of us, and when we are found, then there is great rejoicing in heaven. That's how much God loves us. It isn't a case that if we go astray and we come back, that God is kind of saying, oh, he's back, is he? Fine. No, God is excited. That's how much he loves us. How important it is that we are back with him. Anyway, it's interesting in Luke 15, verse 3, it says, let's start in verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So they can't understand why Jesus would mix with sinners. You know, and then he spoke this parable to them. Notice, just the one parable, but it's in three parts. And this parable reveals that God loves sinners. And if only the Pharisees would know it, they were sinners too. But anyway, this is the love of God for all of us. The first parable speaks of the love of God the Son, for who is the good shepherd, who discovers, seeks and finds the lost sheep. The second one is a picture of God the Holy Spirit. It's pictured by a woman who seeks and finds a lost coin. And the third speaks of the love of God the Father for his lost son, often known as the prodigal son. And so how valuable something is to us is revealed by how much time and effort we spend to find it if it's lost, and our joy on recovering it. So these parables reveal how important we are to God and how much God rejoices, you know, when he finds us again. Hallelujah. So let's look at the first one, which is the parable of the shepherd and the lost sheep. And this is a picture of the work of the Son in salvation. What man of you, he says. Now this is in verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doesn't leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which was lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So here's this shepherd with 100 sheep. And as sheep do, it went astray. It got lost. This sheep was stupid. It thought it could look after itself, because sheep can't manage by themselves. They need their shepherd. And so he went his own way, got lost in the wilderness. And this was a very dangerous place. All kinds of pits he could fall into, wolves who would eat him and so on. He would die for sure if he was on his own. And the sheep is helpless to protect itself. And he doesn't know now how to get home again. He's lost. And the Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, Isaiah 53:6. And so we go astray. We say, oh, I'm fine. I don't need God in my life. I'll look after myself. And how foolish we are when we think that way. And eventually we realize we're lost. We're alone. We don't know the way home. And Jesus said in John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep, he says. And Matthew 9:36, it says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And so it would have been easy for this shepherd to say, look, I've lost one, but I've still got 99 sheep. Serves him right anyway. He went off by himself. And sometimes people think God is like that. He doesn't particularly care for me. But actually, God is like this, that he left the 99. And he had, in other words, he had a personal love for this one sheep that was lost. You know, yes, Jesus died for the whole world. But if you were the only one who needed saving, he would have come and died for you. This is what this parable says. That even if there was just one lost, he would leave where he is and seek to save that lost sheep. And so here's this shepherd going out in the evening, in the night, calling out to this sheep. He refused to give up. He went through dangerous places, calling out where the wild beasts would move. And he was calling out, where are you? Calling his name. And Jesus said in Luke 19:10, I've come to seek and save the lost. And at some point, maybe after a few hours even, he heard a pathetic bleating. The sheep was weak and injured. He couldn't move. And it was helpless to save itself. It's probably trapped in some thorn bush or something like that. All it could do is bleat. And the shepherd heard the sound and followed the sound and found it perhaps in a dangerous pit. And so I imagine him just climbing down into that pit. It was getting dark and he took hold of the sheep. And it says, when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders and carried it home rejoicing. He was so happy. This is a picture of salvation. See, we can't save ourselves. We're lost. But Jesus, our good shepherd, came to us. And all he needed is for us to bleat. We just had to go, Jesus, we call on the name of the Lord Jesus, save me. And so this sheep heard the voice of the shepherd reaching out to him. And he called out like we do, Lord, we call on the name of the Lord, and all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus comes and he reaches down. He, as it were, went into the pit of hell for us and on the cross to save us. And now he carries us back home into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And it's all by grace. And so the good shepherd climbed out of the pit full of joy. He wasn't angry with the sheep. He was just happy they were reunited again. And so this is a wonderful picture of salvation. And Jesus is our good shepherd. Hebrews 13:10-20 says, God brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. And 1 Peter 2:25 says, we were all as sheep going astray, but we have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of our soul. Have you returned to your shepherd? And then when the sheep was found, he wasn't just restored and reunited to the shepherd, but also to the 99 other sheep. He joined the fellowship of the flock. He joined the church. And so this is a picture of salvation. And then he wasn't satisfied with that, because he had a party to celebrate the fact that the shepherd was now saved. And so it says, verse 6, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And so he's so happy. He can't keep it to himself. He invites all his friends. He has a party. And that's the way God celebrates in heaven. When anyone gets born again, when anyone repents of going their own way, and lets Jesus carry them to safety in the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. And so God loves each one of us individually, not just all corporately. And we are those sheep who are powerless to save themselves. So we can all say Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. Well, that's the first parable. That pictures the love of Jesus, our shepherd, the Son of God, our shepherd, who came to seek and save the lost. Hallelujah. Well, the second parable is the lost coin, and that's in verse 8 to 10. And this is pictures the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. Let's read that. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, there's probably her dowry, that was, she would keep a necklace of 10 silver coins. If she loses one coin falls off the necklace and it gets lost. What does she do? Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully till she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls her neighbors and friends together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over just one sinner who repents. You see, it's the same story told again, slightly differently. The woman this time. And she represents the Holy Spirit. And she had 10 pieces of silver, drachma of silver, valuable coins that she would have worn around as a necklace probably. And she might think, well, I've still got 9 out of 10, that's all right. No, she loved each of these coins, just like the Lord loves each one of us. And it fell, you see, on the dusty floor in the house. And the house is dark. They didn't have electrical lights in those days. And these coins are a picture of us, you see. We bear, there's an image on a coin. We are made in God's image. God, we belong to God. But we were lost in the darkness, in the dust of this world. And so she, instead of being in the Lord's presence, as it were, like this necklace around his neck, possessed by him, we've fallen away and we're lost in the darkness. And so, you know, instead of being carried along by the Holy Spirit, we are now all by ourselves and we're lost. And so when this coin was around the woman's neck, this coin would reflect the light and shine. But now in the dust, it had disappeared. It was lost. But this coin was still very valuable to the woman. So she lit an oil lamp, you know, to find it. And she swept the house and she kept seeking, not giving up. And that's how special we are to God. She determined in her heart, I'm going to do everything I can to find it. And she continued until she found the coin. And this is a picture of the Holy Spirit who searches for each precious soul lost in the darkness, shining his light on us, revealing Jesus to us, and sweeps away the dust and the doubts and the unbelief from us so that we can see the light. And when we can see the light, then we reflect it, you see. And when she found the coin, she lifted it up and rejoiced. And that's a picture of our salvation. When we're found, we're taken out of the hands of the kingdom of darkness and we're washed clean, praise God, and held secure in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then raises us up and lifts our spirit up into heavenly places, no longer to be trodden underfoot. And then she called her friends and neighbors again, saying, rejoice with me, let's have a party, for I found the peace that I had lost. And so there is much joy in the presence of the angels over just one sinner that repents. That's how much God loves you. You are that one coin, and you're so special that the Holy Spirit searches after you all your life until he finds you. And then he lifts you up. He washes you clean. He carries you. And now you can shine the light. Praise God. And so that is the second parable. The third parable, which is the major parable, is the parable of the prodigal son. That's what it's usually called. But really, it's a story about the prodigal father. Now, the word prodigal means excessive, all right? So he's called the prodigal son because he was excessive in his sinful lifestyle. But it's also really about the prodigal father who is excessive in his love for us. We, in the story, we, of course, are the prodigal son that is lost in sin. And let's have a look at God's love. And, of course, now this is a picture of the Father God. And it says that a certain man had two sons. This is verse 11. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." Now, this was a real insult, especially in those days. He insulted his father, saying, "I can't wait for you to die. I want my inheritance now. I want to leave home and do whatever I want. I want to live my own life." And that's, again, a picture of us in sin, going our own way. We want to just please ourselves. And so the father, amazingly, divided to them his livelihood. So the older son actually would have got the double portion, and this younger son got his portion, and the estate was divided. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all his wealth together, which was a third of the whole family wealth, and he journeyed to a far country. That's like us. When we go away in sin, we go far away from God, our Father. And there he wasted his possessions with prodigal or excessive living. Just indulged himself, blew all his money, and spent it all on himself. What a picture of a sinner. No thought for his father. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And that's, of course, what happens. Eventually, sin fails to satisfy, and it brings you to a place where you are in a desperately bad place. And he would have lost all his friends who were just... Once he lost his money, he lost his friends. And he was now suffering the consequences of sin, because all sin brings a curse. And a famine came. And what happens when we go in sin? We come into a spiritual famine and then an actual physical famine. He had lost everything. He was in rags, wandering the streets as a beggar. And he going lower and lower. Verse 15, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and then he took a job that would be the worst job for a Jew, which was looking after pigs. And he went, sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, so that no one gave him anything. So now he's in the pig pen of sin, the lowest place of all. He was so hungry that he was desperate to eat the food for the pigs. So the pigs had a higher status than he did. And he had now lost all self-respect. He had really hit bottom. And sometimes we have to hit bottom before we'll come to our right mind and turn back to God. And so it says, when he came to his senses, when he came to himself, he realized now he was able to repent, actually, here. He came to himself and he said, how many of my father's hired servants, and these are the lowest servants, they're not paid all the time, but they're hired on a temporary basis when a need arises. So this is the lowest servant, but even they have bread enough and to spare, and I perish. I'm dying with hunger. I will arise. Now he makes a choice. This is repentance. I'm going to turn from my sin. This is no good. And I'm going to return to my father. You see, when you go away from God, repent and return to God. I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, against God, in other words, and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He would just take me back on any basis. Now, we're going to see that the father's going to surprise him. But notice, he acknowledges his sin. You have to acknowledge your sin. You have to return to God, and you, in the hope that he will receive you. And it says, and he arose and came to his father. And as he was walking home, he must have been thinking, will my father take me back? Or will he be angry and reject me as I deserve? And the Pharisees, who had been listening to the story, would have saying, no way. Is this father going to take him back? He's going to deal with him, rebuke him, and all the rest. That he thinks he could come back even as a servant. That was crazy to them. But now is the big twist. Here's the big surprise. The Pharisees did not see this coming. It says in verse 20 that while he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. See, this is extraordinary. You see, the father had never turned his back on his beloved son, despite his sin. Every day he woke up saying, my boy, maybe he'll come back home today. So often he was looking on the horizon to see, maybe he's coming back. Every time he saw someone out in the distance, he'd say, is that my son? Day after day, week after week, month after month, year, even years. But he didn't give up hope, that because he loved his son so much. And then one day, he saw a figure in the distance, a bit disheveled. Could that be my son? It looks a bit like him. And he looked again, and as he got closer, he realized, yes, that's my son. And with tears of joy, his heart full of love, caused him in a very undignified way to actually run. Now, the Pharisees would think he'd stand there waiting for the son. You know, let's see what excuses he can come up with, crossing his arms. No, the father just forgets himself, and he runs and he runs and he runs to his son, because when you start coming back to God, God will run back to you. And as he got close, he would smell the horrible smell of pigs all over him, and we are covered with the horrible stench of our sin, and yet that didn't stop his love. In fact, he even embraced him, embraced his son. And so his love was stronger than the repugnance of that stench, which is our sin is a stench in God's nostril. But he still loves us and receives us when we come back to him. And he kept kissing him and hugging him and so on. And the son said to him, the words he had planned, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son. And that's all the father needed to hear, and he immediately forgave him. And then it says, he says, the father said to his servants, hurry, bring our best robe and put it on him. In other words, he doesn't want him to come back in shame for everyone to point the finger at his son, covered in rags. He said, give him our best robe, clothe him. And that's what happens. When make him look like me, in other words. And the Bible says that Isaiah 61:10 says, he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. We are clothed with the righteousness of Christ when we come to him. We are clothed in his righteousness. We are clothed as his son. He's accepted him, not as a servant, but as a son. And so the community will see his son has returned and the father has accepted him. And so only the father saw his true state, but everyone could see him clothed. He gives him a brand new start, in other words. He forgives him. And it says he put a ring on his hand and put sandals on his feet. And again, he had the dignity of having sandals now to walk as a son on the property. And the ring actually represents that he is now trusted by the father to represent him, because the ring would be used like a credit card or something like that, as that he could represent the father in business. And then I'm sure he was also given a bath, and we are washed by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And then he had a party, as in the other parables, verse 23, and bring the fatted calf. This is the calf that's been prepared for special occasions. Bring it here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to make merry. And he was so happy. This is how much he loved his son. He forgot everything he did and just welcomed him with a party, because he was dead, but now he's alive. You can tell the father's excitement. That's how much God loves you. That's how much he'll receive you if you've turned away from him. Don't hide from God. Come back to him, and he will rejoice that you've returned to him. And then, of course, the older son, who represents the Pharisees, was not pleased. We read that from verse 25, that the older son was kind of sulking. He was working in the field, and he didn't join the party. This was these, like the Pharisees. How dare he, the sinner, how dare he come back? And now the father has killed the fatted calf for him. And he was angry, it says, and he wouldn't go in. But the father loved this self-righteous son as well. He said, the father came out and pleaded with him in verse 28. And he answered and said to the father, look, I've served you all these years. I never broke any of your commandments, but you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this other one came, he's devoured your livelihood with harlots, and you killed the fatted calf for him. And so he was just jealous, he was upset. And the father says to him, he's trying to win this son over, because this son does not have, although he's worked hard for his father, he's done it on a kind of rules basis, but not out of a real love. And you know, he doesn't have the heart of his father. He doesn't know his father. He doesn't have any love for his other son. And so Jesus is exposing the lack of love of the Pharisees. And notice what the loving father says in verse 31. Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. Remember, this other son didn't understand the grace of his father. His father had already given him his full inheritance. He owned everything. You see, all I have is yours. He could have had a party at any time. And yet he was operating with a slave mentality towards his father, rather than realizing he was the beloved son of his beloved father. And all things were his. And so he didn't have a revelation of his father's love. And so he had no love in his heart for his brother. And so the father is trying to say, it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And so when anyone comes to the Lord, we should rejoice, whatever they've done in their past, you know, because that is what God is like. That's what Jesus is teaching here. God is like that towards every human being. He loves them. Yes, he knows the stench of our sin, but he loves us so much. And when anyone comes back to him and repents, he runs to them and welcomes them and throws a party in heaven on their behalf. Praise God. That's what God is like. He's not like the Pharisees, who are maybe outwardly very righteous and keep all the rules and yet have no love in their heart. That's not what we're to be like. We are to be like our Heavenly Father. And so God is like the big-hearted Father, full of love and forgiveness. And he is like the Good Shepherd, who is willing to lay down his life for the sheep, to carry the sheep home. And he is like that woman who searched and saved her lost coin and then rejoiced. That's how much God loves you. So be encouraged by that. God bless you.